This work is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. This means that you may download and adapt the work for non-commercial purposes, but you must credit the original author. All use and versions of this material should be attributed. Please cite this work as Open Lives Project 2012, an open collection of research data and teaching materials relating to Spanish migrant stories, JISC.
Baja más. Vale. Cuando queráis.
Okay, we had more or less got about going to college, getting out of college because you didn't enjoy it. And then you started to work, and you met Barbara.
Yes.
Can we pick up from there and follow on? How did you meet Barbara?
That's another story. I was in an orphanage in San Antonio called Boysville. In fact, I think there's a photo in there of Boysville. And they had the fifth anniversary of that orphanage, and they had a celebration. And for some reason, the man that operated that orphanage, the newspapers were there writing articles, you know, to write an article in the newspaper, because different organizations were supporting that orphanage, like Kiwanis Club, Lions Club, different like that. And they wanted to, for the article they were going to write in the paper, they wanted to have that picture. And the man that ran the orphanage saw me and said, "Cole, come here." So they took my picture, and it was in the paper. And about a week later, I got a letter from Barbara, and saying that she had seen the picture in the paper, and she wanted to be my pen pal. You know what a pen pal is? For people that write, you know. And that she wanted to be my pen pal. So I wrote back, you know, and we wrote for a little while. In fact, we wrote even when I was going to college in Colorado, we wrote. And I had never seen her then, you know. But as I decided to leave college, we met, you know, we went back in, I went back to San Antonio, and we, since we've been right, I met her and her family, and then we decided to get married.
That quickly?
Well, not quickly, we knew each other by a year.
You've been sending letters?
Yes. I mean, we didn't meet one day and got married the next.
Okay. And what were you doing by this time? Were you working?
Yes, by the time we got married, I was working. Yes, and I was living in an apartment in San Antonio, a little apartment.
And what year was this, more or less, you remember?
Well, 1952, I think.
What was the U.S. like in that period? Do you remember?
What the U.S. was like?
Yeah, what was society like? What was life like?
About like now.
Really?
Nothing much has changed, you know. Just things have gotten more expensive, you know. But at least in Texas, things are about the same, I think, you know.
Was there anything, just maybe looking back to what you had known in Spain and France, was there anything about the U.S. that you found interesting or good, that you liked, or you just fell into the American living?
Accent? Yeah, I had no trouble merging to the American way of life, you know. Because, you know, in France, I was in colonias, which is almost the same as orphanages, you know, they were in colonias, and when I got when I got in the United States, I lived for part of the time in an orphanage too, you know. Mm-hmm. So to me, it wasn't that much different.
Similar. You
know.
Mm-hmm. And then you started your family?
Yes, yes.
In 1952?
Yeah, about 1952, yes. Mm-hmm. And had five children now.
Five children?
Yeah. One of them is here.
I know.
Two of them are twins, two girls, two twins. The first ones were twins, twin girls.
Can you tell us a little bit about your work life?
Oh, I did work for a lot of different places, a lot of different companies.
But you always stayed in Texas?
No.
No?
No. When I left college, and I started working for a company in San Antonio that make refrigerators, the manufacturer, and then I decided that that wasn't a good life for me, working in a factory, operating a machine, you know, and so I took a correspondence course through the mail to study electronics. And I worked for a geophysical company that do oil exploration. And so I was helper, one of those, what's it called, surveyor. I was a surveyor's helper for this geophysical company. And I worked in South Texas for a while. And then they sent us to Florida.
So you moved around.
And we worked in Florida for a while. And all this time I was studying from the electronics, from the correspondence course. And after I finished that correspondence course, I started working for a television repair shop back in San Antonio. So I worked in the repair shops till about 1959. And then I got a job with a electronics company named Philco, and they sent me to El Paso as an instructor in electronics, basic electronics, because they had Fort Bliss, an army base there in El Paso, and they take the military people to teach them electronics, you know. And so I was an instructor there. And then they moved me, that company moved me to Alabama to be an instructor in ballistic missile, a Jupiter ballistic missile. So I was an instructor there in Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. Same town where, I don't know if you know who Ron Brown was. He was a German rocket scientist.
Van Hoffman.
Von Braun.
Von Braun.
Yes. Where they developed the whole space program.
He was a rocket scientist, German rocket scientist. But I was just an instructor there in rockets.
And every time you moved and changed posts, did the whole family move? But you and Barbara and the children moved to new places.
Yeah. Yes. By the time I moved to Alabama, we had the twin girls by then. So they moved with us, two girls. Donna, who's downstairs over here, and the other one's Terry, who's back in Texas now. But we moved, the family moved, yes. So I was in Huntsville, Alabama for a while, and then they were going to send me and another guy to Italy.
To Italy?
They were going to. They were planning on sending me. And I said, no, I don't want to go to Italy.
Why didn't you want to go to Italy?
Huh?
Why Why didn't you want to go to Italy?
Because my wife had to stay behind, you know. They were just going to send me to Italy, and she had to stay behind with her two children, and I said no. So then, so I got a job with an aircraft company in St. Louis, McDonnell Douglas, the name of they made military airplanes. So that's how we moved to St. Louis, Missouri, and I worked there. I worked there for about 5 years, and then one of the co-workers had moved down to Texas to work for General Dynamics in Texas, and one day he called me and asked me if I wanted to work for General Dynamics in Texas. And I said yes, because it's back in Texas.
So you wanted to go back to Texas?
Yeah, so then I went to work for General Dynamics.
Did you meet any Spanish immigrants in St. Louis, Missouri?
No immigrants. The only Spanish I saw in St. Louis was a company where, at that time, McDonnell Douglas aircraft manufacturer was making F-18 airplanes, and Spain had bought some airplanes from them, and there were some Spanish military people there as coordinators, and I saw them, but I never got to really meet them. You know, I just saw them that they were there, you know. But they were not immigrants; they were just representatives of Spain to coordinate the sale of airplanes, you know.
Because there were a colony of Spaniards in San Luis. Even there is a Spanish center or something.
No.
Spaniards were...
I didn't meet any Spaniards other than that, no. I know that in the United States that some cities have centers for Asturian centers or something like that, but I never belonged to any of them. I never knew about them, actually, you know. It wasn't until just recent years I found out that it had Spanish centers in New York or Florida, Miami or something, you know, but I never knew that.
So did you work for General Dynamics then?
Yeah, I worked for General Dynamics. I worked there in Fort Worth. They were in Fort Worth, but then they started laying off people because the military stopped ordering as many airplanes, so they were laying off people. So before I figured they were going to lay me off pretty soon. So I went back to St. Louis to work for the same company I had left, you know. And I worked there for about 15 years, you know, in St. Louis, you know, till I retired. So I retired from, when I started, the name of the company was McDonnell Douglas, but now the Boeing company has taken it over. So it's now part of Boeing. So, in 1987, I retired from Boeing, and I went back to Texas. I went back to Texas because of our children had stayed in Texas in the meantime. They become teachers, and they were teaching in school there, and so we moved back to Texas, to Fort Worth.
When was the first time that you started to think about going back to Spain? Maybe to visit, or?
Well, I never thought about visiting. I started thinking about coming to find my family just about the time I retired, because then I figured that I had the time and I could save enough money to come. You know, I had time.
1987?
Yes, about 1987, I started thinking about it. But I had to save the money because I had no money. You know, raising five children is expensive, you know. So, I retired in 87, and...
And all that time, you hadn't been to Spain?
No.
Okay.
After I retired from that company, I went back to Fort Worth, and I worked a few more years to save a little money. And then in 1996 is when I decided to actually come over here. My first time to come to Asturias.
How old were you then?
How old? I don't know, 16.
Just retired.
I was born in 1930, and it was 1996. So that's 39 years old, right?
39, exactly.
66. So, how did you plan the journey? How did you go about it? What was the idea?
Well, because after I saved the money, I started researching. Find out as much information about Asturias, because I knew I was from Asturias. Mm-hmm. I did not know the name of the town, but I knew the region of Asturias. I knew that it was someplace close to Moreda, because when I was a little boy, we were going from my home to Gijón in a truck. I heard somebody say, it stopped someplace, and a man said, "This is Moreda." So I remember that, Moreda, see. So I knew that my hometown was pretty close to Moreda. So that's why when I came, I first went to Moreda.
Did you come on your own?
Yes, I came by myself. My wife was sick, she couldn't breathe very well. And my twin daughters were busy, you know, and I asked them if they could come. They said, "No, we can't come."
Can you tell me, just stop there and tell me all the names of your children?
It was Donna.
Donna?
Terry, like a T.
Are they the twins?
Yes, they're twins. They're the oldest ones.
The oldest ones?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the Sandy. Sandra, we call her Sandy or Sandra.
Uh-huh.
And there's Barbara.
But
we call her Bo.
Bo.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And Bo, then there's Robert.
And Robert.
Robert, we call him Buster.
Oh, yeah.
We call him Buster.
He's the youngest one, Robert, yeah?
Yes, he's the
Did your children know about you having come from Asturias? What happened with Spain, the Civil War?
Well, for a long time, they didn't know very much. A long time, I don't think they were much interested, you know. Really, they did not get interested till I told them I was coming back. You
know. Which was about this time, 1996.
Yes. That's when they really started really asking questions about it. Before,
what did they know about you? Your past?
Not much.
About your past?
No. I think they knew that I wasn't a Native American, you know, because I had an accent, you know.
Okay.
But it wasn't until about 1996 when I decided to come back here where they started getting interested and start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And of course now, really, it's just been the last year that they got real interested, you know, because they, in fact, they some of them decided to come over here, you know, to visit the family.
So that trip when you first came back, you flew here from the States on your own?
The first year, yes.
You flew to Madrid?
Yes.
And what were your first impressions on landing in Spain and seeing the country?
I was very eager to start looking for my family. Mm-hmm. Because I had been thinking about it for several years, and finally getting to Spain, I was very eager to start looking for my family. And when I rented a car in Madrid and to drive up here, and boy, the closer I got, the more eager I got. You know? So I was curious, it's getting nearer, you know. And then, I think somewhere north of León, you start seeing the mountains of Asturias.
Did
you
recognize the landscape? Did you?
No, not Asturias. No, because I hadn't traveled. You know, when I was a little boy, I stayed in the hometown all the time. You know, I hadn't traveled around Asturias or anything. You know, I didn't recognize. All I knew there were mountains. You know, I knew when I saw the mountains that was Asturias because I knew there was those Cantabrian mountains, you know, there. I didn't recognize Morera or anything like that, you know.
Where did you go, first of all?
I went to Morera.
Morera, that was the first port of call.
Yeah, that's when I first started. When I first got to Asturias, and I saw the Morera sign, I remember the name Morera, and I saw the Morera sign, Morera 5 kilometers, you know, on the old pista, Morera that way, I took it. And I went past Morera, and I got as far as Corrigos.
Corrigos.
And there was a filling station, gas station, gasolinera there, and so I knew I was close to where I was born. I had to get some gasoline there. So I gassed and asked him where La Huelga was, because I was looking for La Huelga.
Of course.
And the man said, well, there's a place close to Morera up in the hills with some similar name.
It's very you know.
So I turned around and went back to Morera. And it was in the afternoon, and there was a lot of people in the plaza there. And I thought, well, I have to talk to an old people. Because
you didn't have any contact,
no,
number,
no,
name,
no,
nothing?
No, no, no. I just on my own idea. So I think, well, I got to talk to old people because the young people are not going to know anything about the past, you know. So I saw this couple of men and women walking in the plaza. So I parked the car real fast and I went to talk to them. And I was looking for La Huelga. And they didn't know anything about it. But they walked with me to the Guardia Civil and they didn't know anything about it. So then they knew some older people in town around Morera. So we went to talk to an old lady and she said, no, don't know anything. But she knew a woman there that knew speak English, a young woman that spoke English.
Because before, how did you put in contact with this old couple?
The older couple? They just happened to be walking.
But do you remember the words that you say to them?
Oh yes, I asked him if they knew where La Huelga was.
How? In Spanish?
Sí. ¿Dónde está La Huelga? I knew a few words, you know. I didn't forget Spanish completely, you know, because they no sé. Sí. Ellos dicen, venga con nosotros, so, because they didn't know English. I had to use whatever Spanish I could, you know, mm-hmm. I had. So that's when we went to the Guardia Civil, and they couldn't help me. So we went, talked to this old woman, and he said, oh, well, I know a young lady that can speak English. So then we walk over to the women's apartment. And she knew English because she taught English to children. The children would go to her apartment in the afternoon and she would teach them, you know, after school. So her name was Julieta. And then she knew Julieta, had a boyfriend. She wasn't married at the time, but she had a boyfriend that worked in Cabana Quinta, which is the capital of a year. She knew a man that worked in Cabana Quinta, and so she called him, and he came over. It was after work in the afternoon, and then he said, "Well, we'll drive around Moreira, see if anything looks familiar." See? So we drove around Moreira, nothing looked familiar, you know, because I was looking for a bridge across the river, because I knew that to get to our house we had to cross on a bridge on the other side of the river. And nothing looked familiar. So, okay, we decided that, now Julieta and I decided, she said, well, tomorrow morning we'll go to Cabana Quinta and look at see what records they had on Cabana Quinta. And the Justice of the Peace, I think they call them, you know that. So, So I ran a room in the hotel in Moreira, and next morning she met me in the lobby at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we went to Cabana Quinta to the Justice of the Peace, and because we figured we'd start looking for my birth certificate. Because we figured if we can find my birth certificate, maybe we can find where I was born. So we went there, and they had big books with all the birth certificates, and I thought I was born in 1930. I thought, because my records show April the 5th, 1930. So they got a 1930 book, and it looks through it, no casino. They got a 1929 book, and right at the end of it, they look all through it, and right at the end, said, ah, casino. So, of course, they gave my birth date, my correct birth date, and where I was born. So we got a copy of the birth certificate, and she had to go back to her apartment that afternoon to teach some more children. So we went back to Moreira, and I went back to my hotel, and it was still in the morning, something in the morning, and somebody, the manager of the hotel, when I went in, he said, "You have a message." And somebody had left a phone number. So he called the phone number, and he said, "Espera." So I waited there. You know. I didn't know who he had called. You say Espera. So I waited there, and about half an hour later, he comes. Two women in the lobby, you know, and they looked around. And I was the only one there, and said, "Es Corsino." Sí. I didn't know who they were, you know. And it turned out that the day before, when I was asking questions in town, word got around, and one of the women lived out in Morera de Arriba, which is above Morera de Arriba. She went to our hairdresser, and the hairdresser told her that there was a man in town looking for his family. And somehow or other, she says, oh, I know who she is, who is. Because she was the one that was on the same boat I was. She was a cousin. And she was about 2 years older than I was. And I didn't know this, but we were in the same truck, on the same boat, and she was supposed to watch after me. But when they had this commotion on the boat, she lost track of me, and she never found me. So she stayed in France about 3 or 4 years, and they brought her back to Morera. And of course, then she found me in Morera in 1996. And then, of course, she knew I had a brother there in Morera. You know, so we walked over to the apartment of my brother Constantino. And because then he knew our home in Castagnello. So we drove to Castagnello and saw the house, and he started calling everybody in the family, you know. And the next day, about 7 people came from Gijón, you know.
Commotion.
Everybody of the family living in Gijón came to see me, and people from Levinco, the three sisters from, the three sisters of my oldest brother that lived in Levinco, came to see me, and
how did you feel?
I was dizzy.
Very dizzy.
It was so close. Wow. The first time when you stopped at the gas station, yeah, in Corriros,
yeah,
which is straight across the river from,
yeah,
his house.
My, yeah,
when you stopped at the gas station in Corriros, it's straight across the river.
Yeah.
He was from the other side of the river. He just didn't recognize it because the bridge wasn't there.
Yeah, there's no bridge. The bridge had washed away. I was looking for the bridge. There was a wooden bridge there. And as I remember, is that the wooden, I had to cross a wooden bridge to get to the other side. So every chance I could see the river, I was looking for the bridge.
Yeah.
You know? And even as I stopped at a gas station in Corrigo, which is close, and asked, I started driving back to Morera, and there was a man walking, and I stopped. And I asked him, "Where's La Huelga?" "Don't know." But that man lived in Castagnello, my hometown, you know. But when I said La Huelga, he didn't recognize it, you know. Because after I found my brother Constantino, then he started calling my sister Aurora. She's in Puerto de Puebla. She lived in Cordova at the time. And she said, Corsino, she had practically going crazy, you know. She said, "Why didn't you call sooner, you know? Where have you been?"
Yeah, she'd been looking for you, even two friends.
She had been looking for me, and she had gone to France in either 1942 or 43. She went to southern France to start asking for me, because she knew that I had gone to France. So she went to southern France, and of course they had no record of me, you know. Because by the time she went to France, I already had left France for the United States anyway. You know. But she went crazy when she heard I had returned. So she and her husband took the train from Cordoba, by the second day I met her in Morera. And, you know, for several days people kept coming in from different
So all the
difficult.
Bits of your of the puzzle were
yeah.
gradually put together.
Yeah.
What had happened to your father?
He died. My sister wrote told me he died in 1950. He was living by himself. By that time, all the children had gone off. You know, even my sister Aurora, when she was 13 years old, she was living with my father, and things got bad. Situation got bad when she was 13, so she went over the mountain to the province of León because she knew that one of our brothers was working there in the farm. So she went over the mountain to a little town in just across in León and to work there in a farm. And she worked there for several years in a farm, you know, taking care of cows and things like that, you know. And of course she eventually got married Jamin was the first husband, right? Yeah, Jamin was the first husband.
No, Arturo.
Arturo, first husband, his name was Arturo. So Jamin was their son. They worked in she worked in Madrid for a while. And Jamin didn't like Madrid. So he moved back here and became a miner, working the mines. And then their first husband, Arturo, died. And
Arturo died before.
Arturo
died when my father was about 8.
Oh, before they came.
They were living here.
Yeah.
And when my grandfather died, my grandmother moved to Madrid to work.
To work at sewing stuff, a seamstress.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she met Paco, her second husband, and he was a mailman in Madrid, and he got transferred to Cordoba, so they moved to Cordoba. So when I came in 1996, she was in Cordoba, so she came to visit. In Moreda, and then the following year, my wife came with me, you know, and we went to Cordoba to see them, you know, and that's about it.
And then since you've come regularly,
I've been here like four times. Yeah, I think I've been here about 4 times. It's my 4th. Now my wife Barbara's been here 3 times, I guess.
And your children have also started.
This is the first time.
To meet cousins.
What?
Your children, your own children.
Yes.
They've also been coming to visit.
This is the first time they've been
here.
Oh,
this is the first time.
Yeah, this is the first time they've been
the
here.
Second time he was here. He came with his wife and one of his daughter.
Yes, one of my daughters. One of my daughters
was here.
Came, and her
the
son
second time you
came.
Here.
Yeah, that's right. The second time I was here, one of my daughters and her son came. You know,
Can I just ask you one question? All the time that you were in the States, up to 1996, as you were an adult, had you tried to find out what was going on in Spain, politics, history?
No, not too much about politics.
You didn't keep in touch? Do you remember, for instance, when Franco died?
Of course I knew when Franco died.
Democracy
A little bit, but except I didn't like Franco, mm-hmm. I wasn't really that much interested in Spain, you know, but
mm-hmm.
Most of my time since then was spent looking for the other refugees in the United States, you know.
That's just the last part of this interview that I'd like to find out when you started to want to look for the other children. When was that?
I think about 2003. Yeah, 2003, I started thinking about, I had written a little book, Orsino, you know, I wrote the book first, and then I started thinking, well, I started wondering where the rest of the refugees were. So I started looking on the internet, and I saw this website, Asturian American Migration Forum, you know, through the internet, you know. And so I wrote a message in there that I was looking for the refugees. And then it was her that she started helping me, right?
Yeah, and Donna Sweeney too.
Yeah, and Donna Sweeney, another one from that website started helping me. And she helped me put together, later she started helping put together the stories in the first book of our stories, you know. She's the one that made the, compiled the first book. But Donna Sweeney helped me a lot, telephoning people, trying to, you know, we looked in the telephone books and found the names and start calling to find out the right person, you know, and gradually we just kept finding, you know, some people, you know. And she found this one, Hernan Lewis, in Barcelona.
And others we didn't find. We just, you remember the Romera, I don't remember their names, but there were some that we never found.
Yeah, we never found them, no. Some of them. There was a brother and sister that we knew had gone to Mexico City, and they have a name that's pretty familiar, Romero, you know. And so I started sending letters to Mexico City, anybody named Romero, but we never could find them.
So how many of the original group of children have managed to get together? 30 out of
40
of the 40 original children. Yeah. Have you ever met as a group in person?
No. We're too spread out, you know. There, some have talked about it, but I think one or two have gotten together, but as a group, we never have gotten together. You know, there's some who live in San Diego and Washington State and, you know, Chicago and New York State. It's too far apart.
How did the idea of writing We Came Along come about?
Oh, well, after we found enough people, you know, and I had written my book for myself at Casino, then I said, well, we thought, well, maybe we ought to write a book of our story so we can, among the groups, so everybody in the group would know what the others, that, you know, what happened to the others, you know. So we started writing stories and compiling them into, you know, together.
And the book Corsino, why did you write that book? Was it for you, for your family?
For my family. Yeah, for my family. It wasn't to make money or something like that. It was for my family. Because, like I say, this friend that lived in Denver, that had married his boyfriend, friend from San Antonio, had retired and gone to Denver, Colorado, and had married a Canadian woman. And she had heard my name, but she didn't know anything about me except my name, and I was from Spain. So she started asking questions through email. So each email I'd write a little bit about my life, you know. About 2 months later, she said, well, why don't you put together in a book? She suggested it, see. So I said, okay. So I put it together in a book, you know, but and distributed it to the family and friends, you know. Never made any money out of it. No money.
You need a good promotion.
No promotion.
Promotion
no.
Campaign.
No problem. You can pay companies to promote your book. You know, but I didn't want to pay somebody to promote my book. I wrote it for my family and friends. You know, not to be promoted.
And how do you feel now that you are here in Asturias once again?
Very good.
Okay.
I feel like I'm home.